And welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast, the lockdown era. How are you, Ben?
I'm good, yeah. How are you?
I'm all right. I do think I'm starting to go a little bit stir crazy now, though. I feel the madness is creeping in a bit more as the time goes by.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because you've been in self-isolation as well for a week, so that's all over now. Do you feel a little bit freer?
I do. I was going a little bit stir crazy as well myself, and you do feel it's a bit hard when all you're hearing is coronavirus 24/7. And I know you could take more to sort of distance yourself from the news, which I think is good for you now and again, but yeah. I have heard a lot about it, really.
Yeah, I found 2 weeks ago I was overdosing on the news, and I started to lose touch with reality because I was watching a drama called The Outsider, which I don't know when that was made, probably a year or two back. And every time they shook hands or they were in a bar or something, I was sitting there going, well, they're not social distancing. They shouldn't be holding hands. And it was ludicrous. I just thought, what's going on? I've got to stop watching the news because it infiltrates every thought. Every thought of the day is
it
now.
It really does.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I do feel that we've got to be very careful that you don't overdose on news, because although it's important to keep abreast of the situation, abreast, you see, these are little jokes to keep you going.
I mean, that was a very little joke, wasn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, but I'm happy with it. So, you know, keep abreast of things, but don't sit watching it all the time, because it will drive you insane.
It really would. What have you been doing to sort of distract yourself from the news?
Well, obviously, I've been decorating. So,
how's that going?
Well, this week I've been. Here's another little joke for you. I've been waiting to use this.
Go on.
I've been waiting for the right moment. This week I've been getting. Oh, I'm so happy with this. This week I've been getting emotional.
There was no need to get so excited for that joke.
Oh, come on. Right, as I was doing it, as I was rolling the most on the wall, I was chuckling to myself and gutted that there was no one for me to share that with at the time.
You've been storing it.
I have. And I've been waiting to use it. I'm very disappointed by your response, by the way.
I'm sorry. I should have lied.
In these times, Ben, a little bit of moral support is what's needed. and you just shattered it. You know,
now, I find painting is not slightly cathartic at all. So you found something really boring to do to take your mind off things.
Well, no, it's got to be done. Do you know what I mean? And I wasn't going to do. I must admit, yesterday I did some, and I really wasn't in the mood. And at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was like, come on, Trev, just get on with it. You've got fuck all else to do anyway. So pick up the roller and crack on. But yesterday wasn't a good day for me to be doing it because, no, I wasn't in the right mindset. I think I'd used the emotional joke earlier in the week. So I had no real, you know, nothing to get me through it. And I've got to be honest with you, it wasn't going particularly well yesterday. Right. I didn't feel the paint was going on the wall particularly well. And I was losing my temper with it yesterday. I was shouting at the walls. I was shouting at the paint.
It's not their fault. It's yours.
No, there was something definitely up yesterday. It wasn't behaving right. And I gave up. I did about an hour and a half. And I was like, fuck this. Because I was beginning to move the ladder in a way that suggested anger. You know, when you move, you want to make as much noise as you can with the ladder, because by making noise, you feel that you're getting some anger out.
Yeah, you're letting the universe know that you're not happy.
Yeah, but I thought this isn't a healthy place to be. So I gave up yesterday. So, painting was one thing. The other thing I've been doing is, I'll be honest, this week is the first week where I had two proper couch potato days.
Really?
Yeah, because normally I've had to do work, and I haven't had as much work this week, because that's the other thing. My work started to dry up a little bit this week. So I've had more time on my hands. And there were a couple of days where I was like, right, that's it. It's proper couch potato days. So a lot of watching films this week, a lot of watching old comedy. I think I've exhausted Only Fools and Horses again. As much as I love the show, I think I've watched every episode now too many times.
Yeah, we've got it on downstairs at the moment, actually.
Have you now? Which episode's on? Because if you're watching it on UK Gold, they do tend to only show about 5 episodes.
Yeah, the one that's on at the moment, or when I left to come and record, it was the one where the where they get all the lead and then they make a bomb shelter for some reason.
Watched that yesterday.
Yep.
Why? It's lockdown. Why have they put it on again today?
Christ knows. It'll be on again this evening, I'm sure. Look, you're right. They do seem to loop the same five episodes.
I mean, that's fine in a normal world where people are going out, but in a world where people are in their house, I mean, maybe they're only allowed to show a certain number of episodes at one time, but my God, vary them, for fuck's sake.
I'll tell you one thing I have been watching, which I think is really, really good. It's Jamie Oliver's Keep Cooking and Carry On.
Oh, Pucker. Nice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he hasn't said Pucker in about 10 years, but... Yeah, it's really good. I think he's managed to rattle off a very quick series, which started off in quite a nice studio with his select team sort of all self-distancing and doing all that stuff. But now he's had to sort of go feral and he's recording it from home on his iPhone. And he's still trying to pump out all these recipes and what you can use in the house and what you can swap out for bits you haven't got. He's using his wife as his crew at the moment. And it's starting to look a little bit like a found footage horror film. And the other day, he's sort of tossing the pan and you can hear Jules in the background sort of saying, watch the cushions, watch the cushions. And you can sort of imagine in about a week's time, you're going to see just blood-stained countertops everywhere. I'll watch your fucking cushions now, woman. And just knives and blood everywhere. And in all seriousness, though, it does look really good. And I think he's doing a great job.
Is it going to be like the end of Blair Witch Project, where there's just going to be a camera angle, like the camera's fallen over, and Jamie Oliver just in the corner with a knife in his hand?
Yeah. Or the alternative ending would be that suddenly Jamie has a fridge full of fresh meat, but Jules is nowhere to be seen.
I mean, honestly, you've taken a dark turn. Also, how many children has he got? He's got fucking loads, hasn't he?
Oh, he's got about five, I think.
Yeah, well, that'll keep him going through the lockdown, won't it?
It really will.
I mean, that's like veal for a cannibal. So, well, we've turned Jamie Oliver into a cannibal. I don't think he's cooking with human flesh yet.
Not yet, but, you know, we've got months left of this.
I tell you what else I've been watching this week, Ben.
Go on.
And it's thanks to our old mate Danny. Do you remember at the end of last week's podcast, I told you that he'd recommended to me a little video sort of documentary on YouTube where this guy takes you around London, and there was one about Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, I remember that. I forgot about that. You were promising to keep me updated, weren't you?
Well, more than updated, mate, because I've been watching quite a few of his videos. He's a guy called Jules, and he does these guided tours, right? And he comes across as a really nice bloke, and he obviously, I don't know if he does this for a living, I guess he does, but he makes these videos.
Not at the moment, he doesn't.
Well, no. So anyway, I watched the one on Charlie Chaplin, because that was the one that been recommended to me. And as I said to you last week, I'm a massive Charlie Chaplin fan. You're familiar with a lot of his work, right?
I wouldn't say I was familiar with his work. Of course, I know who he is, but I wouldn't say I've ever watched a single thing he's ever done.
Really?
No.
God, right, I'll come back to that in a minute. We need to address this, right? So you've never watched... What about Laurel and Hardy?
Again, of course, I know who they are. I know some of the catchphrases, but...
Catchphrases?
I've never seen a single episode of that either.
Episode?
Or film, whatever. See, I don't even know.
Oh, I'm furious. I'm absolutely furious. Come on. Laurel and Hardy. I prefer Laurel and Hardy above Charlie Chaplin, but they are both... legends here, Ben. And I mean, is it because they're in black and white and silent? Is this the
Bang
reason?
On.
Oh, I don't know where to go with this, honestly. I mean, okay. Right, I need you to watch some Laurel and Hardy by next week.
It's times like this, I'm glad we're not in the same room and lockdown is enforced.
Right, so anyway, Charlie Chaplin, right? So I knew that he'd been, he was born in Kennington in South London. Right, so I knew that. So anyway, he did this tour and he had, I think it was his Charlie Chaplin's grandson and granddaughter with him while they were going around. So that was another nice little addition to the piece.
Okay.
Now, here's a couple of things I've learned from that. I knew a lot about Charlie Chaplin because I wrote a biography of him when I was at school. So I'd learned a lot about Charlie Chaplin, right?
But, okay.
And I knew that he'd his mum kind of went insane, really, and ended up in the workhouse in Lambeth. Now, what I didn't know is that the Lambeth workhouse, where Chaplin ended up with his mother and his brother, and the worst thing about this, I mean, they were horrible places, but necessary for a lot of people, but they were separated as they went in. The you know, women were sent off one way, children the other, and then they barely saw each other again. So, I mean, they were fucking horrible places. And I wouldn't have thought it's a place to celebrate Chaplin.
No.
But it is now a cinema museum where they have a little shrine to Chaplin. I mean, it's not the place to be doing that.
You wouldn't have thought so, would you?
Here's another amazing thing I learned from that, which has got nothing to do with the area of London, just an amazing fact. So one of Chaplin's most famous films is one called The Kid, right? You would must have seen clips from it where he's embracing this little boy.
No, the only sort of memory or image I have in my head of Charlie Chaplin is just sort of swinging a walking stick about, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of his character, sure. But, you know, there was more to it than that.
Okay.
Right, so The Kid, one of his earliest films where he plays the tramp, because that's the character with the walking stick, the tramp, and he basically cares for this abandoned child, right? It's one of the most famous scenes is when he's reunited with the child at the end, I think, and he's embracing the child, right? It's a very moving scene, although it's a comedy, it's very moving. Am I enticing you to watch this?
No, I've sort of stopped listening.
Honestly, it is a good job we're not in the same room, because I've been leaping across the room now and giving you the pounding of your life.
Right. So go on, he plays the tramp.
Right. Now, the actor who played the kid in that was Jackie Coogan. Get this, right? He became Uncle Fester in the Addams Family. Never knew that. Never knew that. Yeah, incredible. There's a fact, you see.
I've seen that.
Now, when you say, let's delve into this a little bit deeper, which Addams Family are you talking about? Are you talking about the shitty later films, or are you talking about the 1960s original black and white series?
I am 100% not talking about the original 60s series.
Well, that's the one Jackie Coogan's in.
Well, that's not the one I'm interested in.
Oh, God.
Have you seen the modern-ish ones? I can't remember what the first one was called. Probably just the Addams Family.
Then it was Addams Values.
That's the one, yeah.
Not a patch on the 1960s series, mate. Do you know what I mean?
No, I'm not sure.
I mean, The Munsters was better. You must have seen The Munsters. And again, I'm not
the
talking...
The big green things.
Yeah, you see, again, you're probably talking about the shitty late 90s, early 2000s colour remake.
Yeah, the Munsters I remember were in colour.
No, mate. The 1960s version with Fred Gwynne playing Herman Munster, just genius.
No idea.
Oh, there is so much you've got to learn.
That's the first time in my life I've heard the name Fred Gwynne.
Really?
Yep.
Well, he was... Oh, well, I don't know where to go with this, but he
neither do I. I warned you last week not to tell me about it.
I mean, I've got more to tell you, because I watch more videos. I've got so much to tell you.
Okay.
Right? But let me just tell you about... So Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis played Grandpa, and their double act in that was incredible, and they were likened to Laurel and Hardy in the way they worked together. So, you know, you've got a lot to learn here. You've got to watch some Chaplin, you've got to watch some Laurel and Hardy, then you can watch the 1960s TV show The Munsters, which was only shot in black and white because it was cheaper, and the network didn't want to spend a lot of money on it, by the way.
Oh, that's what I like in my TV shows, cheap production value.
No, but it probably was for the best, because I'm not going to go into it now. Because all I'm going to say is... you need to watch The Munsters. So, you know, a few weeks ago I made you watch Manimal. I'm sort of tempted to throw out a TV viewing challenge here, but there's so much to choose from.
Yeah.
I could make you watch a Chaplin film. I could make you watch a Laurel and Hardy film. I could make you watch an episode of The Munsters. I'm tempted to say The Munsters because I'm not sure you're ready for silent movies. right, I'll have a think about that. By the end of the podcast, I'm going to set you a viewing challenge.
I can probably stomach, if it's no more than 25 minutes, an episode of The Munsters.
I think you'll love The Munsters.
Give it a go.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Right, okay. So, The Munsters it is. By next week, you need to watch an episode of the 1960s Munsters. Right.
I'll track it down.
So, anyway, then I watched more of this guy, Jules, doing his guided tours of London, right? Here's a few things I learned. So, I watched one where he was going around Brixton, okay? And, a lot of these places, by the way, where Chaplin lived and a lot of the places that have got blue plaques up, we used to drive by when you used to drive us to the radio station every morning.
Yeah, we go through the heart of Brixton.
Yeah, so and Kennington and all these places that were they were showing, we used to drive by. So we you know, these are places that mean something. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. Anyway, he's in Brixton, and the main road of Brixton, I didn't know this, it's an old Roman road that used to lead to Croydon and then to Brighton, right? And in 1806, there was a law passed that you weren't allowed to have any erections within 150 feet of that road.
Okay. Right. You've been working on this joke as well all week.
No, it's a fact. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
By erections, I mean buildings.
Yes.
I don't know how your mind's working.
Well, you could have said buildings, couldn't you?
No, I'm quoting the law at you. And the law was you weren't allowed any erections within 150 feet of that road. And the truth is, if you walk through Brixton, there's no chance of getting an erection anywhere near that road because it's so ugly. Here's another fact I learned from the Brixton bit, right?
Oh.
No, it's just, I've got three more amazing things to give you. I'm not being thwarted here by a man who's not watched Laurel and Hardy.
Go on then.
Right. So, John Major, you know who John Major is?
A former Prime Minister, of course, yes.
Now, he was from Brixton, right? Did you know that?
I didn't know that, no.
He used to mention it a lot when he was Prime Minister. Oh, I'm from Brixton, you said. And his dad was a performer called Tom Major, and David Bowie used to live in Brixton and was born in Brixton. And supposedly, he used to see a sign for Tom Major when he used to walk past, and that became the influence for Major Tom in the song, you know?
Bullshit.
It's possible. Absolutely possible. I don't know why you're questioning it.
That sounds so made up.
Well, I don't know whether he ever asserted that fact for sure, but it is thought that that might be the case.
I'm going to investigate that fact. That sounds very suspect to me.
All right. This is one I know you're going to love, right? Because there's a little quiz coming here, and I think you're going to love this. This is just up your street. They went to a puppetry museum.
Oh, God. Why do you watch this shit?
Come on. What is it you don't like about puppetry, for fuck's sake?
God. Right, carry on.
I mean, anyway, they go to this puppetry museum, and they tell us that there are 28 forms of puppetry.
Two is too many forms of puppetry.
28. Now, the thing is, I went to the Wikipedia page for puppetry, right? And I could only find 23 listed on that. But I thought what we'd do is a little quiz to see how many forms of puppetry you can guess, right? We won't go on for too long. I'm going to give you a minute to come up with as many forms of puppetry that you can.
I don't really understand the game, but I'll give it a go.
What do you mean? The game's easy. Come on, tell me how many forms of puppets. I'll give you one to get you going.
No, because you might. Because if you name one that I'm about to name, you'll take away some of my thunder.
Okay, right. Well, I'm going to give you a minute to come up with as many forms of puppetry starting now.
Well, for a kickoff, I don't think I need a minute because I'm going to run out fast. But what about just, I don't know what you call it, but just actual puppetry, sort of hand up the backside of a talking doll. That sort of basic puppetry.
Hand puppets. Yeah.
Hand puppets, okay.
Yeah, there you go,
Finger puppets.
Finger puppets. There you go. There's two. Come on.
Shadow puppets.
Shadow. Yep, there's three. You see, it's a better game than you thought it was going to be, isn't it?
I think that's my list over.
No, come on. You must think of at least one more.
Stop motion animation count?
No, it's not puppetry, that, no. Think of, like, the famous... Yeah, what's Pinocchio?
Punch and Judy.
Well, that's a glove puppet again. Think about, like Pinocchio. What sort of puppet is he? You know,
he was a wooden boy.
Yeah, but how was he controlled before he became real?
With strings.
String puppetry.
String puppets.
There's another one. You got four more seconds anymore to go in.
I'm impressed I got four, to be honest.
Well, it's all over now. There you go. I mean, you could have had tabletop puppet, sock puppet, rod puppet.
How did I miss sock puppet?
Sock puppet. I mean, that's your basic form of puppetry. But I'm going to be honest with you, I still occasionally do on my own.
Hang on a minute. Why doesn't sock puppet fall under the umbrella of hand puppet?
Well, I don't know, but there must be different styles of puppet.
Clearly is. And there's a museum for this?
Well, it's not just a museum. They do performances. They do workshops. You can go in. I think you can make your own puppet over the course of a week. Something I'd be fascinated to do. I mean, you can make a sock puppet very quickly.
Yeah, you could.
Do you know what I use as a puppet at home? I mean, I'm giving you a real insight into my life here.
I don't know. Go on. Surprise me.
Obviously, one is a sock. I will still occasionally put a sock on the end of my hand and make a face with it and do some talking. And the other thing I do is my oven gloves are like dragon mouths. So often when I've got them on, just before I take the dish out, I will just do a little bit of puppetry talking to
it. You really have gone nuts.
I haven't gone nuts at all. This is just what I do in my life, right? I'll give you one more thing I learned from these.
Losing the will to live.
This is about pubs, because he goes to a lot of pubs on these tours of London. And here's one I found out, right? Before Henry VIII, a lot of pubs had very Catholic names. So they'd be called, like, you know, the Virgin Mary Arms or something. Do you know what I mean? They'd be called, like, the Pope's Head or the Cardinal's Beaver. Or
Cardinal's Beaver.
Well, I don't know. That's one I made up. But they,
yeah, no shit.
They might have a name. Well, it's better than, you know, no, it could have been St. Mary. Anyway. But when Henry VIII came in, he got rid of all the monasteries. They all changed their names. So basically to suck up to him so they weren't seen as Catholic, because, you know, he had a bit of a reputation for cutting people's heads off, didn't he? So a lot of pubs were things like the King's Head and the King's Arms and the Royal Oak. They all became royal names. I mean, that's okay. A fascinating thing to learn, isn't it?
A bit. It hasn't enriched my life that much, but yeah, I suppose it's mildly interesting.
Well, you see, this was the thing, because that particular fact triggered something in my mind, that I have a book called The Strangest Pubs in Britain and the Best Worldwide. And I thought I'd just share a couple of odd pubs that I found in the book. Okay. If you're interested.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Well, no, just bear with me, right? I'm only going to give you a couple, right? So these are just weird pubs with weird things. So there's one called the Hatchet Inn in Bristol. I think you'd like this, right? Because the 400-year-old front door of this pub is reputed to have layers of human skin under the tar coating. So if you go through it, well, because they used to sort of use human skin, didn't they, as a sort of a leather, really? Like a lot of old books were bound in some human skin, weren't they?
And what about that? Why did you think I'd like that?
Well, because you like...
What do you think of me?
Well, you like that kind of dark shit, don't you? You know, I thought that would be right up your street, a little bit of macabre pubbery.
Yeah, it seems a bit unnecessary to do that, really, but okay.
Well, I mean, it's an old pub. I mean, it's 400 year old, you know, 400 years ago. Bit of human skin, you know, use it.
Gross.
All right, here's another one. And I like this one just because it's called the Trevor Arms Hotel.
Right, okay.
So it's got a good name already.
Was it named after any specific Trevor?
Don't think so, but it's obviously a good... Yeah, all Trevors are great. I mean, it was probably Trevor the Great.
Yeah.
Trevor the Great. This is in North Wales. It was probably, oh, here he comes. He's like Trevor the Great, isn't he? We'll name the pub after him. So the Trevor Arms in Wales, right, it's a place where you're like this as well, because I know you like sort of evil spirits and stuff, because it's covered in crosses to keep evil spirits away. You know, us Trevs, we're not gonna, you know, take risks with the occult, mate. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So I just like it because of its name, really. And
yeah, you realise we're doing a podcast and the filler, the content, is just you saying, I saw my name written down this week, I quite like it.
It's been a long week. And the last one I'll tell you about, because I really want to go to this pub, it's called the Widow's Son, and it's in London. And basically hanging from the ceiling is a load of old bread. And it all started about 200 years ago when a woman whose son was a sailor was due to return home from sea one Good Friday, so baked him some hot cross buns. Unfortunately, he never returned, and she'd hung the buns in the pub. And they're still hanging now, and every Good Friday, someone adds a bun to it. So
I mean, that must be mouldy by now, surely.
Well, some of them have gone a bit black. There's a fascinating array of pubs and things I've given you there. So I think look at this as your homeschooling for the week, Ben.
Well, thank you for educating me on a list of fascinating places that I now can't go to.
Now, Ben, last week we played a couple of games on the podcast just to, you know, help people come up with ways of killing the time while they're indoors.
Yeah, have we got any more?
Well, this week I thought what we'd do... by the way, I just want to say that the skunk game we played last week, that's gone down very well with people.
Has it?
Yeah. I think a lot of people have been trying that at home this week. So I know it wasn't perhaps your favourite game because it can be endless, but yeah. I think it's a game that's really taken off this week because of that.
Good.
What I thought I'd do this week is I've dug out the book you gave me as part of my Christmas present.
Oh, okay.
Which is Would You Rather Randoms, a collection of hilarious hypothetical questions. So I thought we'd do a few Would You Rathers. And this is a game you can play at home without the book. I mean, you can make them up, but we've got the luxury of a book to help us out here. So do you fancy a few Would You Rathers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, I'm going to just flick through the book and stop at random on a page. Okay. Would you rather eat food that's been pre-chewed by a stranger or a dog?
Oh. They do say that a dog's mouth on average is cleaner than the humans or any humans.
They lick their asses and their balls, mate.
I know.
I can't be buying that.
And it has to be a stranger. I can't get, say, the wife to chew it up.
No, it's a stranger. By a stranger. Eat food that has been pre-chewed by a stranger or a dog.
Can I pick the stranger?
Well, it doesn't specify that. I mean, you're asking for rules outside of the stipulated criteria I have in front of me. But, I mean, where are you going to pick the stranger from? I mean, what if... Is it like a police lineup? Am I giving you an option?
I just want to pick someone.
Is it
who
like
looks
a Thai
clean
whorehouse where I unveil a lineup behind a curtain?
I wouldn't know. I've never been.
I was taken to one once. It was a,
oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right. So when I was in Thailand, right, I was going shopping around the market in Bangkok, right, and I was looking to buy a shirt. So this guy said to me, what is it you want? And I said, a shirt. And he said, oh, follow me. And he took me into this place and drew back a curtain. And there was this lineup. It was bizarre, mate.
What did he think you'd said?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
But, you know, there was a language barrier there. It's like
I
desperately needed some money while I was out there. And I got in a cab and I said to the guy, I need to get some money. And he, obviously, English not his first language. I'm not sure he could speak much English at all. So I just waved my bank card at him and sort of pointed. And he just saw the word visa. So I then ended up on a tour of several embassies, including the American, German and Australian embassies.
Oh.
In Thailand or in Bangkok, because he thought I needed a visa. And in the end, I just sort of had to, well, get a bit cross with him. And I mean, it's not his fault, but I just ended up saying, look, mate, if you don't find me a place where I can get some money, I can't pay you. It was bizarre after that. He found me a cash point. Anyway, yeah. Those are the side. So let's say you can choose the stranger. I want to get to the bottom of where you're finding your stranger. I mean, how are you choosing them?
Well, if I can pick my stranger, then I would say I'll pick a celebrity who I know is very clean.
That's not a stranger.
Well, I'm a stranger to them.
Okay, yeah, but you're not chewing their food.
No.
But, I mean, does it make any difference? I mean, why would a celebrity chewing your food make any difference to, like, someone I've pulled in off the street?
I don't know. Because if you know they're clean and not some horrible manky old git, that's fine. I think if push comes to shove and I have to answer the question, I would rather eat food chewed by a stranger.
Okay, all right, yeah, I think that's where I'd go as well.
I would be sick instantly.
I'm not going to
I'm dead either way because I couldn't keep it down.
It's a hypothetical question, mate. I'm not going to make you do it.
Good.
Well, not yet, anyway. I mean, if you failed to watch a Monsters episode by next week, things may change. Right, I'll go to another page. Hang on. Would you rather everything you think becomes true or be able to control people with a PlayStation controller?
I definitely wouldn't want everything that ever pops into my mind to become true, because that could lead to absolute chaos. So I think I'd like to be able to control people with a PlayStation controller. It's quite an easy one for me, that one.
Okay, and what would you make them do once you had control over them?
I think mute would be a handy option to have a lot of the time for certain people.
Yeah,
pause, that'll be a good one.
Because I'm not sure, yeah. I mean, I'm not a gamer, as you know. By the way, I just want to say that somebody started mowing their lawn outside. I don't know if that is against the law at the moment, but but I do apologise if you could hear a lawnmower going off.
See, we could pause them with a controller, couldn't we?
You could, actually. I mean, how noisy does a lawnmower have to be as well? Can't we live in a world now, it's 2020, where lawnmowers are quieter?
I think you're going a bit disproportionately cross at someone cutting their grass.
It's like, stop now. You know,
I'm hoping it's a very small lawn.
I'm hoping someone's called the fucking police on him. Right. So, yeah, all right. So, I'm not a gamer, but the... Oh, it started up again. Sorry. Right. The only thing about it is I just see you just end up fighting. That's all you do on a PlayStation. You just fight people, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of bickering online, yeah.
Let's do a couple more, right? Here we go. Would you rather... spend the rest of your life on a plane or on a boat?
Ooh, the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Got to be a boat.
On a boat.
Yeah, because I'm thinking you would go crazy in a... Well, I suppose there are some very swanky, nice planes, but cruise liners, you've got more freedom, haven't you, to move around on a cruise liner.
It's weird, isn't it, how our minds work? Because when I see that, all I see is like a little boat, like a little sort of yacht, a solo yacht, or a little kind of biplane. But you've gone straight for sort of cruiser and 747 in your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Airbus, something... or private jet, Air Force One.
I don't know. See, I agree with you that a boat would be a better place in terms of freedom. You could get out on deck, you could get a bit of fresh air and that sort of thing. But the seasickness and the roughness of sea might be a bit too much to bear. I don't know.
I think you'd get your sea legs pretty quick if it was for the rest of your life.
I suppose you would, really. Yeah, it was in a plane. You still get turbulence. I think boats, it's a no-brainer, that one, isn't it? It's got to be a boat, surely.
I think so.
Okay, right, let's do a couple more here. Right, would you rather... fucking hell, what's going on now? Is it the loudest car in the world has just gone by?
God, even I heard that, my
end. Fucking it, right, every day I hear this car go by, I'm tempted to report him to the police for two reasons. One, where the fuck is he going all the time? And secondly, he needs to have his exhaust sorted out. I mean, honestly, I've never known a car as noisy as that. Because there's not so many cars going around at the moment, and because there's not so much hooting on my road at the moment, by the way, because of the lockdown, which is a bonus. But I'm really noticing this loud car. And at 1 o'clock this morning, it went by. 1 o'clock this morning. No one should be there. Where's a curfew? We need a curfew.
Yeah.
I can understand people wanting to pop out in the day for their exercise, to get a bit of air, a bit of sunshine, walk the dog, whatever. I'm not even against people going to parks, although I know that's a controversial view. But as long as you're social distancing. But there's no reason to be out at 1 o'clock in the morning at the moment. This is not on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've gone on quite a rant here just by a car driving past.
Right, well, it pisses me off. Right, here we go. Would you rather eat a puppy that tastes like chocolate or a kitten that tastes like strawberries?
Puppy that tastes like chocolate.
Would you?
I think that would be too much strawberry.
Too much strawberry. Because what it doesn't make clear is whether because the dog just tastes like chocolate. So, I mean, presumably the texture of the dog is like eating a dog, you know, but it just going to taste like chocolate. It's not like a chocolate dog.
No, that's fine. If it tastes like chocolate, then I'd rather... I mean, strawberries are lovely, but yeah. I couldn't eat a kitten's worth.
You couldn't eat a kitten's worth of strawberries?
No. that might be the weirdest sentence that's ever come out on this podcast. So I saw one nice thing, which was a Facebook page decided to live stream some footage of a comedy show to keep people watching at home entertained.
Okay.
It was from a comedy club based in Liverpool who took the efforts to decide to do this, showing some old footage from their club. And what happened was, it was a nice idea that completely backfired when one of the people at home watching it didn't realise it was an old recording from their club and thought he was watching a live stream.
Oh,
and he got furious.
Did he?
He did. He got furious. He thought, look at all these people breaking the social distancing and breaking the law. You can't have pubs open and clubs. And so he got on the old phone, called the police. The police go and kick the door down, 20 of them, of course, find a completely empty comedy club. So the only people then breaking social distancing were the bloody police.
Oh, but they're allowed to. Surely the police are exempt from social distancing.
I'm sure they're encouraged to take measures when possible, but it just seemed like even the nice ideas and the benefits of the internet can backfire at the moment when people lose the plot.
Well, I do think this is a weird sort of time we're in because, you know, we're all having to learn to think differently. And like this whole thing of going out. So like as we record this Sunday, it's probably going to be the hottest day of the year. And when I say hot, like we're not talking in heat wave like midsummer, but it's 20 degrees or so. So they're really concerned at the people that might go out to parks and sunbathe and that sort of thing. And like Matt Hancock was apparently on the telly this morning saying, well, you know, if people go out, we might well have to look at even more stringent measures. And I've been way behind everything so far, with the exception of the they've asked about getting access to phone data so they could kind of see if you've left home more than twice a day. And that, I'm not into that.
No.
I mean, that's a 1984 dystopian view.
And really is.
We've got to be careful we're not heading towards that. And I think that there's like this overzealous thing. People are turning into this. They're snitching on people, mate. Have you seen the craze? I don't know if it's started in this country yet, but I think they've been doing it in Australia. I've seen some videos. People dressing up to take their bins out.
No, I haven't seen that at all.
Well, you know, last week we talked about the fancy dress postman.
Yeah.
Well, this week, so people are putting on fancy dress outfits just to go and put the bins out so they can entertain the neighbours. And it sort of becomes a little bit of a thing. Like, oh, what's he going to be wearing this week? And I thought, well, that's a great idea.
The thing is, I don't put my bins out. My bins remain in exactly the same place. My binmen, I suppose I do have to go and get it sometimes when they leave it in weird places. But yeah, I could dress up to go and retrieve my bin, but it seems like a lot of effort to go to. And what if you got all your gear on, took 2 hours getting into costume?
Well, I'm not suggesting you take 2 hours, mate. I mean, you're not putting on a play at the National Theatre. You know what I mean?
I mean, I live in a cul-de-sac in the corner of it. No one's going to bloody see me.
I'll tell you one of the things about being in lockdown that is beginning to take a bit of a toll.
Go on.
It's not being able to get my hair cut. My hair is getting wildly, wildly out of control.
Is it really?
Yeah, well, you know, my hair gets to a point where you can do fuck all with it. I like the, you know, I'm 42 now, and it took me quite a few years to find a style. When I say find a style, I think it's the haircut that all men get to at some particular point in their life. And I got to it in about my early 30s, where it's the, I like to call it the generic middle-aged man haircut, where you basically, right, you have it cut short, it's pushed forward with a little kind of quiff bit at the front that you push up. And we all have sort of variations of it. All my mates, we're all similar ages, we all have a variation of that, the generic middle-aged man haircut. So I haven't been able to have my haircut. The last time I had my haircut was just before Christmas. And I was going to have it cut just before the lockdown. I was kind of going to go and get it done, and I haven't. And now it's just getting to the point where I can't really do anything with it. And when people come to the door, I had to do a video conference meeting for work the other day, and my hair was all over the shop. There's nothing I could... And I felt so self-conscious about my hair. And the thing about it is I wouldn't have the guts to cut my own hair. But people are doing this. People are resorting to their own barbership.
Well, it's a very risky move, but of course you have got the one bulletproof haircut up your sleeve if you need it, which no one can really get wrong.
Well, the number one all over.
The number one all over.
I don't think that would be a thing for me. I haven't even got a razor that can do that, so I couldn't even do that.
You've not got a pair of clippers?
Well, no. So I'd have to do it wet shave, and that could just be disastrous.
You mean go complete cue ball?
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but, you know, this is the thing. So my friend got his missus to cut his hair the other day, sent me a picture. It actually looks okay from the picture. Ooh. But would you, I know Mrs. Ben's a very talented woman, but would you ask Mrs. Ben to cut your hair?
I think if push came to shove, I think I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I think she'd be pretty good at that sort of thing.
Okay, so just with some clippers, just have a go.
Yeah.
What if,
and if, like, I have previously, years ago, had a number one all over. It's not a look I mind on myself. So if she completely fucked it up, I can just shave it off.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are having a go. I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures on Twitter and stuff of people trying to cut their hair. The fucking mess people are making of it. I mean, it is a risky option. but one of my favourites I saw was a kid who asked his brother basically to give him a haircut, I think. And it went very wrong. And he basically shaved everything off the top, but leaving a kind of curtain of long hair at the back. So he looked like, you know, Carl Pilkington's character in the sitcom Derek.
Yeah.
So this is about a 5 or 6 year old kid with a haircut like that.
Amazing.
So it's a risky business. The thing is, I'm not sure I've got the balls to do it, but in the meantime, my hair is getting more and more out of control. And the thing is also, because I'm not really going out, I'm not really shaving much. And although I can't really do a beard, I'm beginning to look like I am turning into some sort of caveman.
You've gone feral.
I have gone feral, and I think this is what's happening because we're not all going out. My mate sent me a picture of him the other day. He can't really grow a beard, but he looked like he'd joined the Amish community. I talked about being on a video conference the other day because a lot of people are having to get used to working like this. Have you seen the people that haven't quite got to grips with the video technology yet?
Oh my God, I've seen one absolutely mortifying clip.
Go on, which one's this?
I dare say if you've seen something, I dare say we've seen the same thing. It's of a woman who is in a conference call, a video conference call with a lot of other people in there.
Yeah,
this is the same one, isn't it?
I think it is.
And she decides to leave the video chat, but leave it running, just as she goes for a quick piss.
Oh, this isn't the same one, by the way, but okay.
Okay, but it seems like as she gets up from the computer, she rotates it and squats down and has a piss in full view of everyone.
Oh no.
It was terrible. I was mortified for it. And then you can hear some sort of sniggering and a few people realizing what's going on. And then you see the moment she realizes they can see her and she just instantly disappears from the video conference.
Of course you would. Of course. So hang on. So she went to the loo and what? There was a direct line of sight from where the camera was to the toilet. What, she didn't shut the door? I mean,
I don't know quite why she was so close with her computer to the toilet, unless she was in the bathroom when she was doing the conference call.
Right.
But yeah, there was a very clear shot of her having a pee on the toilet.
Oh, well, that's not the one I was going to tell you. The couple that I've seen are there's a few brilliant ones. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago where people are doing church services and stuff online, and there's been quite a few where they haven't turned certain filters off. So they're doing this sort of religious service, and the vicar's got all these different sort of helmets and facial things going on because they haven't turned their Snapchat filters off or whatever it is. So they're brilliant. There was a woman this week who was in, looked like a very high-powered meeting. I think she was the boss as well. I think she was the boss of the company, and she'd somehow switched something on her phone that turned her into a potato, and she couldn't turn it off. So she had to go through the whole meeting as a potato. I mean, she's taking it in very good spirit. What's the other one I saw? So this was like it looks like a big old meeting, because the only video I've seen of this is someone filming it from their phone from their computer screen. So you've got lots of headshots on the computer screen. So it looks like a very busy meeting. And one of the squares has got one bloke who's joined the meeting from home. And he clearly doesn't realise that his camera is switched on.
Okay.
And he is stark bollock naked.
Oh, no.
And he's sort of walking around. It's all flopping about everywhere. And he has absolutely no idea that all of his colleagues...
No!
All of his colleagues, and I would guess, looking at the picture, there's probably a good maybe 10, 15 people. And they're all getting a right old eyeful.
Oh, now, if that was you, would you try and warn him, or would you look away?
Depends on how much I like the guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you work in a workplace, there are people you don't like and people you like. And if it's someone I couldn't stand, you'd be like, fucking brilliant. Well, that's that's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast. It's worked quite well, this, because we're doing this thing. This is the first time we've tried this new technology to record this week.
Hopefully, yeah. You might notice it's a slight change in sound, but hopefully this is going to work well, because in truth, the other way we were doing it was requiring you to make about 5 hour sacrifice on editing, which was just a little bit much.
Just before we go, just a quick, one more quick would you rather.
Go on then.
Would you rather go back into the past to meet your ancestors, or forward into the future to meet your great-great-great-great-grandchildren?
I don't think I'd like to know the future.
Wouldn't
I'd like
you?
No, I mean, unless it's the lottery numbers. I think I'd like to go back and meet my ancestors.
Okay. I'm not sure, because there's a bit of me that would be really interested to go to the future and just see what it's like. Like, what is the technology like? What is on telly? I think that would be interesting. But like you say, it could be fucking depressing.
It could be.
I mean, it could be even worse than it is now, like living under a police state. It could be awful. So, yeah.
I do like the prospect of going either to the past or the future and just getting out of this, though.
Getting out of this? What, this podcast?
Present.
Oh, the present,
no,
right.
Not the podcast. The coronavirus outbreak, you idiot.
I came across the other day on telly, which I haven't started watching, but I'm going to track it down. Morgan Freeman doing a 4-part documentary about time travel. So I might track that down and perhaps bring some stuff next week.
Of course that exists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know. Lots of theories about it. We won't get into that now. So anyway, so you're going to watch a Munsters this week.
I'll give it a go.
Anything else to recommend?
Yeah, actually I do. On Netflix, I'm 2 episodes into a 7-part series called Tiger King.
Oh, well, this is what I told you about last week.
This is the one you recommended?
Yeah.
Right, I knew. I couldn't remember who'd recommended it. And
I'm glad that my recommendations hold such high place in your thoughts.
No, I should be honoured, because I thought, I've heard this is good from somewhere, but I just couldn't remember what. And then I thought, finally, oh yeah, someone recommended me that, so I'll flick that on, and my God, it's mental.
It gets more mental, Matt. I finished it this week. It gets
really?
It gets more and more mental. They are the weirdest bunch. So yeah, that's definitely something, and you'll enjoy that. And
it's plot twist after plot twist after plot twist. It's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't end. And and I heard this morning that there might be another episode coming, but I don't know whether it's true or not. And we'll be watching The Queen later. She's doing a little bit of a thing for us the Sunday night as we record. She's doing it tonight, a little speech for us.
I think I will try and watch it, because it's going to be quite a historic thing, because this will only be the 4th time in her reign that she'll have made a sort of extraordinary speech that wasn't the Christmas speech.
Exactly.
The other three, were the Gulf War, the eve of Princess Diana's funeral, and after the Queen Mum's death.
And she's been on the throne for like 4,000 years. I mean, it's incredible. Basically, she'll be saying, stay the fuck at home. Anyway, we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, and take it easy.
Bye.